Very simple this morning. But what Paul does in this verse is he tells us what we should be doing as we're partaking. There's a structure that right in this present moment, as often as you eat it, you're to reflect on the past, Jesus' death, and you are to look to the future in hope for his coming. And there are three meals I want to think about this morning for just a moment that have this structure to them. The first one is the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, I want us to think about coming into the house of a Hebrew family. And while we're there, we get to the table, and he is, the head of the house, is telling us exactly what we can expect. First of all, he says, we want to talk about the past, our forefathers' past. In Exodus 12 and verse 14, this day shall be for you a memorial. They were to listen to the echo of the past, the recent past for them. Moses, also in Deuteronomy 16, to the second generation there, he says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. And so God established this Passover, and he expected them to recount in their houses what he did for them. And from what we know from tradition, the head of the household is the one who would operate this meal. And he would take the bread with the bitter herbs on it, and he would talk about what happened, what God did for his people. He would narrate Israel's story. He would tell about how Abraham was called by God to be a light to the world, but they found themselves in Egypt, in bondage, under a dark and evil power. But he's not as, this power is not as strong and as great as God is. And so he would talk about how God led them out with an outstretched arm, how he condemned the Egyptians with plague after plague. But finally, after being warned and not listening, God killed every firstborn that wasn't covered in the blood of the lamb. And that very night, as they're partaking on this night, the head of the house would say, on this night is when God told us to eat this bread with bitter herbs, which would have reminded them of their bitter and harsh oppression. And he would have said, we ate in haste because we had to flee. And maybe one of the children asked them, well, what happened next? We ran. We ran to what seemed like a brick wall, a Red Sea. And the enemy was crashing down upon us, and God opened up the waters and led us across, but he drowned our enemies. This is what they would have observed and reflected on as they observed the Passover. They would have looked back. But they also would have looked to the future. Here in Exodus 12, verse 14, you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. Now, the future people of God, the next generation after generation, is going to observe this meal. You have to appreciate this command that God gives here in Exodus 12 because they hadn't left Egypt yet. They haven't gone through the waters. For all they know, maybe they're going to stay here. And God is saying, I've already done the salvation. I've already worked all this out. Your next generation of children, they're going to be in a different land and they're going to worship me and observe this Passover like you are right now, even though you haven't left Egypt. And so they ate in hope of the future. Their children and their children's children would eat in memory. But there's another piece of information in Deuteronomy 12 that's fascinating to me. It says to the second generation, you shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God from the flock or the herd at the place that the Lord will choose to make his name dwell there. You may not offer the Passover sacrifice within any of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, but at the place that the Lord your God will choose. That's a future. They're thinking about when they're going to partake of this meal in a different land, in a place that God has decided to settle. Now, I want you to think about that. The very first time they did this, they had to do it in their homes. as individual families. They couldn't just gather together as a whole group and observe it with God in the present. In the second generation, Deuteronomy 6, they're in the wilderness. They're not in a land of rest. They're probably in their tents having to do this. And what God is saying is, I want you to partake now in hope of a time when I'm going to put myself in a place where all of you can come together and partake of it as one nation with me in your midst. And so that's what this Passover meal was meant to do for them. Recall their journey from slavery to liberty, salvation. It was a time to hope for sharing a meal in a future holy place with God. A few hundred years or so later, in Luke 22, Jesus establishes a meal. And in Luke 22 and verse 11, Luke says this upper room meal was a Passover. He says, until the master of the house, the teacher, that's Jesus, says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? In 22:15, he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and from what it seems to me, he takes the role of the father of the household. And he takes the bread and he says, take this bread and eat it. It is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And if you are the disciples, you're kind of scratching your head a little bit, right? This is the Passover. This is when we reflect on the Egyptians trying to keep Israel in slavery. And Israel is able to escape. How is this about the body of Jesus? And what is this about remembering you? What are we to remember? And then you hear Jesus say, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many, so that sins may be forgiven. Now, at this point, the disciples are really scratching their heads. This is too much. I mean, maybe they're thinking, Jews don't drink blood. New covenant, sins forgiven, we could maybe get on board with that. The prophets talk about that. But the problem is in our mind, what that means is when God's going to do that, he has restored Israel completely. That's what probably is going through the minds of the disciples. And I'm sure the disciples were thinking about their bondage and freedom from Egypt. And ironically, I tell you what, I think Jesus was too. But he was seeing himself as the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. He is the lamb whose blood was shed so that his blood would cover all of us and our sins could be forgiven. He looks to the past and sees that lamb and says, I'm that lamb. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of the past, but he's also the hope for the future. In Luke 22, it tells us Jesus is thinking about this. In verse 15, I have earnestly desired to eat this meal with you before I suffer. He's also anticipating the very near death that he's about to go through on the cross. His impending death, but he's also anticipating a farther out future, a meal as king in heaven. In Luke 22, 28 through 30, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials. And I assign to you, as my father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's thinking about his 12 eating a meal with him in heaven. But I think he's also referring to all. In Luke 22:16, I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You see, the Last Supper, just like the Passover, is a present meal that connects the past and the future events together. And so we come to where we began. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is talking to those at Corinth, eating this meal, and they were doing it kind of selfishly. And so he warns them and exhorts them. He says, you all need to start thinking about what this meal actually is about. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul reminisces, he looks back. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," that's the present, "you proclaim the Lord's death," that's the past, "until he comes," the future. This morning as we partake, I want you to think back. Our slavery, our bondage to an evil worldly empire controlled by the devil himself. We are the reason that Jesus had to tell Satan, "I'll meet you at the cross." And then Satan decides, "You know what? I'm going to one-up him. I'm going to have him battered and bruised and ripped to shreds so that his bones are visible before he even gets there. And we'll see what happens to him." And then he gets to the cross, and Jesus, we finally hear, say those words, "It is finished."